I've got something I want to say from God's word this morning before we get to lunch this morning, but something else I want to do too. I want to say thank you to Roy and to Ursula. Roy, thank the team and the big group of helpers who've done so much to make this happen. But we also want to say thank you to Roy and to Ursula, because every team needs good team leaders. So let's give Roy and Ursula a real great round of applause. Thank you so much. Thank you. Sad news in our church family this week. Audrey Forbes, many of us who will know her husband, died quite suddenly on Tuesday morning. So we want to express our sympathy to Audrey and her daughters, Abigail and Sarah. If you'd like to finish today in a reflective way, communion this evening at 6:30 p.m. It's a very full day, but we'll end with communion at 6:30. Now, I want to come back this morning to this theme of friendship that Roy has been talking about, and it has been a theme, hasn't it, for these last few days for you. And I hope you've enjoyed not just your holiday at home, but also hearing something about friendship. And I don't know if you listened carefully to Marilyn as she was reading today, but she emphasized one word in particular which really came across to me. It was something which Jesus said to his disciples as he gathered his disciples together for his last night, really, as he prepared his disciples for his departure and as he was going to go to his death the very next day. He said something really striking which should stop us in our tracks. And here's what Jesus said to his disciples. He says, "I call you my friends." In fact, what he really says is, "I call you my intimate friends." Now, I wonder, is that the kind of word that you associate with Jesus? That Jesus would say to you, "I want to call you my friend, my intimate friend." I don't know if you've ever thought about Jesus like that. Well, perhaps this morning, as we think and unpack this just a little bit together, you're going to find this actually blows you away. You think, Jesus wants to be friends with me? Wow! And I guess how we understand this word friendship really depends on our understanding of friends, doesn't it? I came across a story this week which made me smile. It might make you smile too. But I came across a story this week of two friends who were out camping in the woods. And they were setting up for their morning coffee and they were just settling down to enjoy it. And suddenly they heard a noise in the bushes nearby. And to their horror, coming at full speed towards them was this large grizzly bear with a very hungry look on his face. And one of the friends started pulling on his running shoes. And a friend said to him, "You don't think you can outrun that grizzly bear, do you?" "No," said his friend, "I don't need to. All I need to do is outrun you." Some of you had to think about that, didn't you? I guess that's not really the kind of friend you and I would really want, is it? Someone who would leave us to the face of a grizzly bear. So where do you go to for a definition of friendship? Well, you can go to the dictionary, which I did during the week, and here's the definition I found: a person attached to another by feelings of affection or personal regard. Well, that may be true, but it sounds very clinical, doesn't it? Sure, it's how I would describe friendship. A friend of mine sent me some really interesting quotations on friendship this week. Let me share some of these with you. I think that some of these might resonate in terms of a good definition of friendship. What about this one? "One of the most beautiful qualities of true friendship is to understand and to be understood." It's pretty good, isn't it? Pretty good. I see lots of you nodding to that one. Here's another one which I really liked. It says, "Friendship is the comfort of knowing that even when you feel alone, you aren't." It's a good one, isn't it? Really good one, Joe. I like this one as well. Lovely one from C.S. Lewis. I love C.S. Lewis's stuff. "Friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, 'What? You too? I thought I was the only one.'" Love the way C.S. Lewis puts stuff together. And I heard a little bit about Tigger in Diane's prayer this morning. Some of you will love Winnie the Pooh stories and Piglet and Eeyore, and some of us grew up with those stories. Here's a lovely one from Winnie the Pooh and Piglet talking together. "Will we be friends forever, won't we, Pooh?" asked Piglet. "Even longer," Pooh answered. So there's some lovely definitions of friendship, isn't there? I hope for many of you at holiday at home this year, you've enjoyed being with your friends. I hope some of you enjoy making new friendships. And I had heard Dan praying about sleeping, just nodding off together as friends in the middle of the afternoon. I like that part of your prayer this morning, Dan. That was great. One of the very sad statistics I read during this week really made me stop and think. This is what it says. 60% of men over 30 cannot identify one close friend. It's pretty shocking, isn't it? I have to say, women, you fare an awful lot better. Over 90% of women can identify at least 5 or 6 close friends. And then the survey went on to say this. It said about 40% of our close friendships are formed during our school years, which means that as we get older, it's sometimes much more difficult, isn't it, to find good, close friends. And we live, don't we, in a society which is more connected together than ever it has been in the past, with emails and all that kind of electronic stuff that's gone around. And yet the statistics are that we are lonelier than ever. There are over 2 million people in the UK living on their own. I suspect some of you are here in this group this morning. But as Jesus gathers his disciples around him on that last night, there's something really precious that he wants them to know. He says, I want you to know, he said to his disciples, that I call you my friends. And I want to just unpack that just a little bit with you this morning. I want you to see with me what Jesus says about this kind of friendship. I want you to see how amazing this friendship really is. And I want to just unpack it. That's all I want to do, just for a few minutes. Because I know lunch is coming. Okay? But here's some really important things about the friendship which Jesus is talking about. There are 4 things that I want to talk about for just a few minutes. And here's the first thing. Jesus talks here about this friendship. He says, this is the kind of friendship I'm talking about. It is deeply intimate. That's the kind of friendship that I'm going to call you into. It is deeply intimate. In fact, the word that Jesus uses here literally means this. Those who have been cared for from the womb. It reminds me of one of the Old Testament Psalms that says to us, you created my inmost being and you knit me together in my mother's womb and you search me and you know me. That's the kind of friendship that Jesus calls us into. It is deeply intimate. I have never called you servants, says Jesus to his disciples. I have called you friends. You see, there is nothing superficial about being called the friends of Jesus. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and he understands us like no other. That's the first thing I want you to see from what Jesus says, that this friendship that he calls us into is intimate. It runs really deep. Here's the second thing that Jesus says about this friendship. He says to his disciples, this friendship which I'm calling you into is motivated by my love for you. And here's what he says in that little conversation he's having with them. He says, I want you to love each other, but I want you to notice this, that I have loved you. And the greatest love of all is the love that sacrifices everything. I love some of Max Lucado's stuff because he has a wonderful way of communicating the love that God has for us. And here's what he says in one of his books. He writes this. He says, God loves you simply because he has chosen to do so. He loves you when you don't feel lovely. He loves you when no one else loves you. Others may abandon you, divorce you, and ignore you. But God will love you always, no matter what. Wow. That's the kind of love that Jesus has for us. That's the kind of friendship that Jesus invites us into. It is an unconditional love. There is nothing that you can do to make God love you any more or any less. That's real love, isn't it? And you'll find it echoed in a passage which we often hear read at wedding services to describe the kind of love that we love to see between a husband and wife. But you know, the actual passage that we read on those occasions is actually a description of the love that God has for us. Here's a little snapshot of it. It says, love is large and incredibly patient. It is gentle. It is consistently kind to all. That is the love that Jesus has for us. It's like this. Love is a safe place of shelter. It never stops believing the best for others. It never takes failure as defeat. And look at the last bit. It never gives up. That's the kind of love that Jesus talks about in terms of the friendship that he invites us into. It's deeply intimate. It is motivated by love. The third thing that Jesus says here is that the love that I have for you, it comes at great cost. It comes at great cost. Here's what he says to his disciples. He says, "And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends." You know what? The very next day, Jesus was going to go out and give up his life for us, for all of us. He was going to be crucified on a cross. And there's a verse a little bit later in the New Testament which explains why and what this was all about. Why would Jesus give up his life like that for us? Why would he go willingly to the cross? Well, here's the explanation. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man some might possibly dare to die. But here it comes. God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinful people, Jesus Christ died for us. That's the kind of love that God has for us in Jesus. That's the kind of friendship that we are invited into. It is deep and it is intimate and it is full of unconditional love, and it comes at great cost to Jesus. I said there was four things. Here's the fourth thing. It's a friendship that we're invited into. I find this mind-blowing. Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. Or quite literally what he's saying is this: I have invited you. It's the same kind of word you would have used in Jesus' day if you wanted to invite somebody into your home for a meal with you. You said, come and share in my family. Come and share in my home. It's that kind of intimate invitation that Jesus invites us into. You see, you can't earn that kind of friendship, can you? You can't say to somebody, you're going to be my friend. You can't force someone to be your friend, can you? It doesn't work like that, does it? And it's the same with Jesus. Jesus will not force his way into our lives. He invites us and says, I want to call you my friends. I'm reaching my hands out to you. I want you to respond to my invitation to be my friends. That's the kind of friendship that Jesus is talking about here. It is a deeply intimate friendship. Jesus, I know everything about you. I know all the good stuff and I know all the bad stuff, but I love you. It's a friendship that is shaped by that kind of love that it's unconditional. It's a love that comes to us at great cost. Jesus gave up his life so that we could enjoy that friendship with God. And it comes as an invitation to us. Now, one of the things I've noticed about really good friends is this, and maybe you've noticed it too, that the more people spend together, the more time they spend together, they sort of rub off on each other a little bit. Have you ever come across people who are really close friends and you see that suddenly the other person is using the same phrases or the same words that person's using? You say, well, how does that happen? And you suddenly find that good friends start to see things through each other's eyes, and you say, well, how does that happen? And it happens, of course, because the more time we spend with those that we love, or those who are our closest friends, we do rub off on each other, and hopefully we rub off in good ways as well as bad ways. The disciples had spent 3 years with Jesus, almost every day of 3 years. And Jesus says, the friendship that I'm offering you is going to rub off on you. If you're going to be my friends, you're going to become more like me. You know? Yeah. And Jesus said, here's some of the things that are going to happen. He said, when you become friends with me, he said, your heart begins to change. You change from the inside out, and some really exciting things start to happen. You become a different kind of person. You become more like Jesus. And here's what Jesus says. He says, you will begin to love each other. Even people that you found difficult in the past to get on with, you suddenly find, actually, I feel differently towards you. And the reason for that is because Jesus says, I've said at the bottom here actually, because Jesus says, you need to love each other in the same way that I've loved you. So the more that we understand the love that God has for us, the more we begin to reflect that love to those around us. We begin to change. Jesus begins to rub off on us. People notice that. Here's something else that Jesus says. Jesus says, you will begin to follow my words. What he actually says is, you will show that you are my intimate friends when you obey what I command. Now, that might sound a bit funny to us. Jesus isn't commanding us to do stuff. He's saying, if you love me, you'll follow my words. It's a relationship. If you love me, you will want to please me. You will want to follow my words. You will want to bring me joy. You will want to live your life for me. You will want to follow my words. We begin to change. And the third thing that Jesus says is that we will get caught up in God's story. He says to his disciples, I'm going to reveal to you all kinds of things that my Father in heaven has revealed to me. And I want you to know about them too. And one of the amazing things is that when we become friends with Jesus, we begin to understand actually God has some great plans and purposes. That Jesus' birth and death and resurrection wasn't an accident. It was planned from the beginning of time. There are hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament which tell us that Jesus is going to be born and to die and to rise again. This is part of God's purposes. And as you make your way through the New Testament, you begin to discover that actually there's even better to come. There's a day coming when Jesus will return and he will make everything new again. And there will be no more pain or death or crying because the old stuff will be gone. That's the big story. That's where we're heading if we're friends of Jesus. And the last thing that Jesus says here about what happens when we become his friends, he says we would long to become more like Jesus. We have a longing in our hearts to be more like Jesus. What Jesus actually says to his disciples is this. He says, you're going to become fruitful. You're going to start displaying some of my qualities and some of my characteristics, because when we become friends with Jesus, Jesus puts his Holy Spirit in us and he begins to change our hearts and we begin to change from the inside out. And there are some lovely fruits that are described in the New Testament. Things like love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? That's good stuff. But Jesus says that's the kind of stuff that will start to come, so will start to grow in you if you become my friends. The theme of friendship is a very challenging way of understanding Jesus, isn't it? Human friendships, as we all know, are a wonderful gift to us. Where would we be without our friends? Where would we be without our close friends? There are some amazing stories around about how far friends are willing to go for each other. I want to finish one of those stories this morning. Story of a teenage boy. He was very sadly diagnosed with cancer and was in hospital for a number of weeks to undergo life-saving treatment. And as many of us will know, that kind of treatment often leads to losing our hair. This little boy lost all of his hair. And on the way home from hospital, his main worry was not about the cancer, but how he was going to go back to school with a bald head, because he thought his friends were going to make fun of him. And he'd already decided he wasn't going to wear a hat. So he arrived home and he walked in the front door and he turned on the lights, and to his surprise, 50 of his friends jumped out and shouted, "Welcome home!" And as the little boy looked around the room, he discovered that every one of his friends had shaved their heads. He could hardly believe his eyes. Human friendships can run very deep, can't they? I love this quote from Winnie the Pooh and Piglet. Here's another one. If you live to be 100, I want to live to be 100 minus one day, so I'll never have to live without you. Oh, a lovely little conversation between Winnie the Pooh and Piglet. And we know the depth of human friendships, don't we? And some of you who are here this morning, you will have lost people that you love dearly. You'll have lost your life partner. Many of you live on your own. And you know what it's like to feel lonely. Some of you will lose your friends as you get older. I've spoken to lots of you over the last few days. You lose your friends. Sometimes the longer you live, the more your friends you lose. Sometimes there's that fear of living on your own. And others, probably right across our church family this morning, will know what it's like to lose some of our dearest friends. Sometimes friendships fracture. And we know the pain of losing dear friends. But this friendship that Jesus offers us is like no other. And Jesus says to us this morning, I want to be your friend. I want to call you my friend. I want to invite you to be my friend. I will never let you down. I will never leave you. I will always be with you. I want an intimate friendship with you. I want you to experience the love that I have for you. I want you to see the cost of this friendship, but I want to invite you to become my friend. And I simply want to finish this morning by just extending Jesus' invitation to you. I sense as I'm speaking this morning that there are some in this room who want to respond to that invitation for the very first time. You want, in a sense, to put your hand in the hand of Jesus. He will not force his way into your life. It's not how friendships work. But Jesus says, I'm inviting you to become my friend. You say, well, how does that work? How does that happen? I find it really helpful to take it to three very simple words. And folks in this church will know I've been here before, but this is a very simple but profound way of becoming friends with Jesus. Here's the words on the screen. We say sorry. We say sorry to God for the wrong stuff that we have done in our lives. And with his help, we try to turn from it. We say thank you because of the amazing cost that Jesus has paid so that we can be made right with God and can be called his friend. So he gave up everything for us. And we say, please, because we can't do this stuff on our own. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us to grow that kind of fruit, as we were thinking, to love people more around us, to love more of Jesus' words. We can't do it on our own. So that's what we're going to do. I'll lead you a very simple prayer this morning. If you want to become friends with Jesus, if you want to put your hand in his, this friend who will not just see you through this life, but will see you through death and into the life to come, why not put your hand in the hand of Jesus this morning? Shall we pray? Let's close our eyes as we pray. And if you want to make this your prayer this morning, if you want to put your hand in the hand of Jesus, perhaps for the very first time this morning, it's starting to make sense, then why not pray this prayer quietly in your own heart as I pray it. Father, we come to say sorry for the wrong things that we have done. Because if we hear again about Jesus, we see the amazing cost that he paid, that we could be made right with you and that we could be called your friends. He has paid the price so that we don't have to. We say sorry for the things we've done wrong. We turn from the stuff that's wrong in our lives with all of your help. And we say thank you. We say thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross in my place and for taking the punishment that I deserve. And we say please, because we know we can't do this on our own. We need your Spirit in us, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and make your home in us. And we reach out our hands in faith, and we place our hands in your hands, and we hear you saying to us, I call you my intimate friends. Oh, Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Amen. If any of you have any questions about stuff that we've talked about this morning, come find me. I'll be around over lunch. I'll be around over coffee. If you say, something you said this morning, I don't understand that. Tell me more about that. Then please come. They're the conversations I love to have after church. Okay? Excellent. Good. Roy.